Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio is current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests. It is Tuesday. It is the 18th of June with you for the next 2 hours. Going to be discussing the issues of the day, as we always do here on Viewpoint. Amongst the subjects we will be looking at is knife crime in the UK, 4 further deaths over the past 4 days, plus the shocking revelations that young adults and children are being paid bounties to knife rival gang members. Also at the latest developments in the Conservative Party leadership race. Another vote this afternoon, and then a live TV debate where Boris Johnson may be making an appearance after his lectern or his no-show at the first debate. If we have time, we'll be looking at the ongoing spat between President Donald Trump and London Mayor Khan. Trump yesterday, or the day before yesterday, retweeted Katie Hopkins, which unleashed a Twitter storm. And also, if we have time again, looking at the impact that Brexit or the current EU negotiations and the interesting developments of Westminster may have on Scotland. 2 German MPs said yesterday that the EU is considering fast-tracking Scotland into the EU if Scotland became independent. I think it's 64% of Scots voted remain. Joining me in the studio, by lucky chance, you might say today, is Campbell Ferguson. Good morning to you, Campbell.
Good morning, Giles. How's everybody out there?
And we'll have enough. That's enough of that, please. Thank you very much. Good to have you with us, Campbell. Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Giles.
And you have, of course, cycled in this morning, beating the traffic.
Yeah, it was. There's a huge blockage somewhere. Must be along near Guadalmina. But the roads from Estepona to San Pedro Marbella was completely blocked. It's beginning to move a bit now. But I would certainly recommend people Estepona direction to go in the motorway.
As I drove in this morning, it was an Audi. It's always an Audi, ladies and gentlemen, these days.
It had
pranked somebody, yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah, one small idiot can create a huge disruption.
And that's why I'm here on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain.
I wasn't linking the small idiot with that, and I don't believe you drive an Audi.
This is absolutely true.
We're okay.
And also in the studio today, Rosalind Scott. Good morning to you, Rosalind.
Morning, Giles. I came the other way, so I came straight through. No problems.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me as well on +34 645 99 67 95. Before we start, point of order, please, if you wish to call in. We're not taking personal attacks on other callers in, so please, if you have an opinion about somebody, keep it to yourself. We're not going down the avenue or the road of name calling or discussing people's mental states. Thank you very much. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Rosalind.
And that includes the guests.
It absolutely includes the guests. As I said before, 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio, the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Let's have a look at the front pages in the UK and further afield. As Conservative MPs prepare to vote in the second round of their party's leadership contest, May papers focus on the prospects of one of the 6 contenders. Rory Stewart could knock out Sajid Javid or Dominic Raab, the Sun suggests. According to The Eye, he's emerging as a serious threat in the race. The paper says Mr. Stewart has warned he has 100 Tory MPs ready to block Boris Johnson's no-deal Brexit stance. The Daily Telegraph raises the question of whether the International Development Secretary was once a spy for MI6. Meanwhile, the Times suggests rival Michael Gove is trying to put off potential Stewart supporters by urging MPs to pick 2 Brexiteers for the final round so as not to polarise the Conservative Party. after several Tory leadership hopefuls admitted to once having taken drugs. The Financial Times says business travellers to the US are being haunted by decades-old drug and alcohol offences. Immigration lawyers are warning that the US has toughened its approach to approving visas, the FT says, with 108% increase in the number of travellers being refused entry to the US last year. Meanwhile, as the US sends more than 1,000 troops to the Middle East amid growing tension with Iran, Washington Post columnist Max Boot says the crisis is largely of President Trump's own making and that he's diminishing America's safety and standing. The political website says the European Union has sought to play down Iran's warning that it will soon breach its uranium stockpile limits, but the Times cautions against tutting about American belligerence and suggests that the Europeans should get tougher with the implementation of its existing nuclear deal with Iran. The Daily Mirror devotes 5 pages to an interview with the Islamic State group fighter Alexander Coty, who was stripped of his British citizenship. Coty, who was nicknamed a beetle, tells the paper from his cell in Syria that he saved the life of a fellow IS fighter, Mohammed Emwazi, known as Jihadi John, and wept when he finally died. Coty reveals that he would like to live in the UK with his Syrian wife and 3 children. Writing in the Daily Mail, Theresa May sets out her plans to be absolutely ruthless with any companies that exploit loyal customers. The Prime Minister is giving regulators power to impose fines on companies that overcharge or mislead consumers, stopping firms charging unfair cancellation charges. Citizens Advice, which raised the issue, has welcomed the news, according to the FT. However, the organisation has questioned whether the new powers go far enough, whilst consumer watchdog Fairer Finance tells the Times it sounds like it could be more spin than substance. The slime... Yes, indeed. The slime that allows snails to creep up walls is the inspiration behind a new reversible superglue, according to The Guardian. Obviously, bringing across the news that matters. So strong is the new product that scientists use 2 postage stamp-sized squares of it to hold the weight of a 13-stone student. Quite what they were doing, sticking a 13-stone student to a wall, is another question. The Times explains that when a snail stops... its sticky mucus, hardens to hold the creature in place. When it moves again, it releases more mucus. In the same way, when the liquid glue on the student presumably dries, it shrinks and hardens, but add water and it softens and can be reused. The Telegraph invites readers to imagine the Mona Lisa all to yourself in a virtually empty Louvre. The rare prospect is to be realised when the Paris Gallery offers visitors virtual reality headsets in an exhibition to mark the 500th anniversary of the death of the masterpiece's creator, Leonardo da Vinci. The Times welcomes the news, pointing out the futility of trying to see the painting through the barrage of arms and smartphones. There's a great picture gone up there of the Mona Lisa surrounded by people taking selfies and pictures of the Mona Lisa herself. Leonardo himself would have relished the novelty, it suggests. When you go and see to the Museo de Bellas Arts in Madrid and you go and see Guernica, you're not allowed to take your Mona Lisa. They stop you taking your phone with you, because otherwise people would be taking selfies in front of Picasso's most famous work, which I think is a pretty good move. Anyway, moving on to... I'll ask the panel about that a little later. Moving on to the front page of our media partner El País. Headlines on that one are Spain hopes to attract... Madrid's hottest street, 72 bars packed into 1 kilometre. 1 out of every 2 commercial premises on Ponzano is either a drinks or food venue. Visitors love it, but local residents are desperate for solutions to the constant noise and crowds. You can imagine that one. Killer of Spanish golfer Thalia Barquin will get life imprisonment with no parole. Colin Daniel Richards, who had a long criminal history, including domestic abuse and assault, pleaded guilty to murdering the 22-year-old on a golf course in Iowa. That happened at the end of last year. And City Hall deal complicates Pedro Sanchez's bid to stay in power. The acting Prime Minister may lose the promised abstention of a pro-Catalan independence party after the socialist-supported incumbent mayor Ada Colau in Barcelona. And those are your headlines. A broad bunch today. Tuesday, the 18th of June. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996 795. We go to the panel. We looking at the latest developments in the Conservative Party leadership race, which... rumbles on and on and on. We had Boris Johnson not showing up for the first televised debate. The candidates going to be whittled down today, and then they are in a televised debate this evening, which obviously Mr. Johnson is expected to be present at. Pamela, your thoughts? Campbell, you can pick up the person to begin with.
Yes, and look in Rosamund's face. No, you take it. Boris, I think, is playing a subtle game, as well as being held back because they feel that only he can destroy Boris. By holding himself back as not being one of the crowd, he's showing himself to be the superior one and the one that they all have to beat, and therefore by holding back, I think that's his strategy.
I mean, do you think that perhaps they haven't been, Boris Johnson hasn't been paraded out in front of the press because they're worried that his backers are worried that he might say something, something off message, saying, "Goes Roz."
Well, he continually does so, doesn't he? I mean, his latest comment, which is not going to help very much, is "No Scot should be allowed to be prime minister." Well, this is going to help a great deal. That's just the latest.
When did he say that? I didn't catch that one.
I just read it this morning.
Right. Okay. So No Scot should become prime minister.
Exactly. Well, and you know all the other ones. Bullfighting, it's too much political correctness in Spain to try to stop the bullfighting. I mean, all of these things are so kind of...
You may not be able to stop the bullfighting, but do you think there's any way that they can stop Boris? Because, I mean, by the looks of things, I mean, it was 100 and... I think it was 104, over 100 Tory MPs already backing him. His rise to the top seems to be unstoppable, or do you think there may be a stalking horse candidate, or perhaps we may see Rory Stewart taking control?
But that's what's so worrying, is that he does have the popular vote, doesn't he? I find this so worrying. It's the same as Trump. Why don't people see that he's... I mean, in my opinion, he's not the man for the job.
He's not the man for the job, Campbell.
No, he's not somebody that anybody can trust. And when his major job is going to be in negotiation with Europe, and Europe has said very strongly from their past experiences of him, they just don't like him at all. That goes very much against him. However, if he is aiming for complete Brexit, it doesn't matter about what Europe thinks. They're going to be doing it anyway. It's how things are dealt with thereafter. And if he is still the Prime Minister thereafter, it's going to make things life so much harder.
Right.
Well, just another thing about his continual lies that are presented to him in articles he's written in the past, which of course is in black and white, so he can't deny it. So he doesn't. When he's when there's been misinformation given or untruths, lies, he just says, "Well, yeah, no, you're right." He just kind of muffles on, and he can't deny it because it's true. So he has such a unhealthy image, doesn't he? No wonder Europe doesn't want to deal with him. Whoever is prime minister still has to hopefully deal with Europe, even if in the terrible event that there is a Brexit.
952 78 4000. Rosalind Scott Gibb laying her cards on the table early on in that one. We go live to the lines. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Morning, Kate.
Just a quick bit of information. I mean, it's a report, and it may be no longer accurate, but it may cheer the funnel up. Someone calling themselves Moo Moo, reported on the internet. The members like Rory Stewart. According to a poll I half read, about 40% of the Tory party members back Stewart. About 40% back Johnson. So if it's a choice between Johnson and Stewart, the only real choice on offer, because all of the Johnson and the others are all on the hard Brexit, no deal, walk away, etc., etc., and Stewart is not. Stewart is closer to May's offer and said he would try to push that through. Anyway, then it's not, I'm going back to the quote from Moomoo, then it's not certain what the results would be. If the MPs do not put Stewart first forward, they have decided to stitch it up so that the choice is Brexit with a narcissistic Boris or Brexit with a slightly less insane careerist. There's one point that came two or three days ago on the news. There was the report that senior some senior Conservatives were thinking of putting only one choice of, i.e., Brit Johnson, to the membership, which I think is what totalitarian regimes do when you have a choice between one, don't you? And the final thing on that is that... No, I'll come back later. Cheers.
Oh, OK, always leave them wanting more, Kate. There you go, 952-784-1000. Both members of my panel today were nodding in agreement with that one. I mean, do we think that, you know, the British public are having Boris foisted upon them then? I mean, do you think this is, as Kate said, totalitarianism? But, I mean, you could argue that that was the way that May got in, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, May got in largely because nobody else wanted to get in. And they just wanted to hold back on it. With Stuart and Boris, it's coming to Brexit, complete Brexit, or maybe no Brexit. One can always hope, but or certainly a watered down Brexit. But a watered down Brexit is effectively, it appears to be worse than anything, because you don't have the benefits of Brexit, the small amount that there are from that. And you lose everything that you've got at the moment. So where's the benefit in that? So I think it's either you have complete Brexit or you have no Brexit. I think May's thing is largely dead in the water because the Parliament has decided on that three times. Surely it cannot be put up once again.
I mean, from a European Union point of view, I mean, Juncker said, you know, we're giving you, and I'll paraphrase this, he said that, you know, we're giving you this time up to the 31st of October to go off and prepare and come back, use it well. And do you consider, and again, 952-784-1000, do you consider this squabbling, the revelations that we've seen over the past couple of weeks on fitness for office because of what people did 30 years ago, do you think the EU and Strasbourg and Brussels are looking at this thinking that Britain is taking this seriously? Panel?
No, I would say no, they're not going to be impressed at all.
Yeah, nobody's impressed. It's the Conservative Party is thrashing around within itself to try and get the best person. And it's within a small group of people within that Conservative Party who are looked upon as the establishment or whatever. They are the ones that are thrashing around with it. And everybody else is largely cannon fodder. The Conservative Party itself within the country, they're going to be, to put it mildly, it would be an insult just to put one person to them. They would lose, I would have thought, a great deal many more members, or they should lose a great deal many more members if that was to happen. So they've got to be given a choice. But it's a choice between two very similar people that they're going to be given. And the Conservative Party largely, I would have thought, in the UK, yes, it's Conservative, right or wrong. And so they will vote for one of them. Boris appears to have the biggest charisma, and so they will probably vote for him. I think charisma is the word, isn't it? Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we talk about the biggest charisma, but is that public persona, which hasn't been really strictly, you know, his views haven't been really strictly challenged as they would be in open debate. People are saying, oh, well, Boris is Boris. And he's been saying, oh, well, I delivered the Olympics. I delivered this, that, the other in London. And if you look at if you're looking at the facts, though, they don't seem to stand up.
Yeah.
I've got an email in from, a WhatsApp, +34 645 99 67 95, from Richard, who always gives me the facts and figures and the riders and runners. Next Conservative leaders, Bozo, 1 to 6, Rory, 12 to 1, Hunt, 20 to 1, Pob, 50 to 1, and Drab, 100 to 1. To make the final two, Bozo, Boris Johnson, which is... I know he didn't deliver the Olympics, but he said that the other week. Bozo, 1 to 33, Hunt, 4 to 6, Rory, 2 to 1 to make the final two, Pob on 16 to 5. Article 50 to be revoked, yes, 5 to 2, no to 1 to 3. UK to leave the EU before or on the 31st of October, which is the final date, which is yes, 12 to 5, and no, 1 to 3. Looking at... Looking at more WhatsApps in, this one from Ken, who says, absolutely agree with Kate, who called in on 952-784-4000, and how many in the UK want Boris as Prime Minister? Well, we've seen the rise of populism, we've seen the rise of charismatic figures on both sides of the pond, and people seem to be voting on personalities because they're different. Because, I mean, was it Rees-Mogg who said last week after the pillbox comment came back to, and the picking in his comments came back to haunt Boris Johnson, he said that people want leaders who aren't snowflakes and say it as it is, even if that is perhaps that truth is unpalatable to others.
They certainly they appear to be looking forward to personalities on that. Whether Boris is popular within the UK, that doesn't matter. It's whether he's popular within the Conservative Party at the moment, because they're the ones that are going to be voting on him. They look at the crowd and they think, well, if it's to go to another election, who is going to be the one that will win that? Who will be able to beat that man Farage, and who will be able to beat the Corbyn? And they look upon them and they say, well, probably Boris can do it. So that, I think, is the way the vote will be going.
I mean, if you look at the current standing of the parties, I mean, the last poll we had put the Lib Dems and the Brexit Party ahead of those traditional parties, ahead of Labour and the Conservatives. So, I mean, do you think the Conservatives think, well, Johnson is the man who can drag them back to the forefront of British politics?
Obviously they do. I don't see it. I don't see any charisma myself.
952-784-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me, +34 645 996795. We go live to the lines again. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blank again. The bit I was going to say earlier, it could be useful early. An fascinating Polly Toynbee piece today, putting the line that if she's looking for May, she could actually revoke Article 50. I mean, there is a way out of all this hysteria of, you know, 5 months, 4 months to go, 3 months to go, etc. Revoking 50. Now, obviously, there will be outrage and a lot of people. Or she could put her own referendum bill before Parliament, and putting the referendum being no deal, May's deal or remain. And she could say with conviction that too much is being decided behind closed doors by a tiny Tory electorate. Democracy demands the people, not the Tory party, decide what to come back. She could actually start the race in a different direction.
Interesting. I mean, do you not think, though, that what Theresa May has been doing recently with the Consumer Act she's bringing in, and also she's been bringing in some environmental acts, which is sort of, you could argue it was rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, but she's trying to leave something of a legacy for herself before she goes when this leadership challenge is over?
Well, it would be rather good if it was a better legacy than it would be at the moment. And I think the idea is someone could revoke the Article 50, and she's in the position at the moment. But actually, she lighting the touch paper for the referendum would be very, very popular.
Interesting one.
And she can do that before, I think it's the 24th of July. That's her deadline.
Throwing in a hand grenade before she leaves the cabinet and shutting the door after going live. Thank you for calling, as always, Kate. 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles, and the panellists. Jason.
Hello, Jason. You all right? Very well, thank you. Good to hear from you.
nice to be back. Oh, for Christ's sake. I tell you what, I wish people just get with the programme in the sense that, you know, forget all this other referendum stuff. You know, we're leaving. We voted to leave nearly 3 years ago, right? We've already had one, and the people knew what they were doing when they voted for that, and the success of the newly formed party with Nigel Farage also proves the impetus is there. So nothing's changed. Everybody wants to go, and these people should stop being so selfish, right? It's damaging the country, is the procrastination. It's not a symmetrical argument in that if we had another referendum, you're going against the majority, slim as it is. At least you can tell yourself, Remainers, that for democracy reasons, you accepted that you lost. To do it the other way around would create civil unrest and God knows what else. So best, lesser of two evils, we leave. And my second point is that Boris Johnson is very clever because he's sat and listened to everybody, all the other the people that are contending for power, fire all their bullets, put their arguments forward, and just sat back to counter his arguments, which I think is very clever brinksmanship. So now when they have the BBC debate, he knows everybody's position and can counter what's coming. What do you think about that?
I mean, apart from the fact that you've in a very nice way, you've threatened civil war in the UK, I think you just did, Jason, with the smiling assassin.
Well, look, we've just got to get out. I mean, it's people crying in the milk, isn't it? You don't need a university education or a plum in your mouth to know what's right and wrong. And people, the common man, wanted to leave. It's only because of power was with all the politicians and the fancy folk, they didn't get the answer they wanted, so they're trying to wrestle it away and turn it around. Absolute nonsense, I say, and we're leaving. And stop dreaming the Remainers, because it's good happen now, and I'm really happy. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Thank you for your call in there, Jason. If we had the webcam up and running, you'd see the panel are shaking their heads. We're often quite accused of having pro-Brexit bias on the panel, but I think we can honestly say that we have it seems to be, you know, more amongst the Remainers here today. Richard's come in. We're not leaving. The people knew what they were doing. No, there is zero evidence for that. 952-784-4000, the phone number. Panel, I'll come to you in a minute. Live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TR.
Okay, Kostblanka. The current state of polling average puts Labour 23.3, Brexit 23.1, that's interesting, Conservative 21.1, and Lib Dem 18.4. Now, your last caller is so clear that people were clear and well-informed and knew what they were doing on this in 3 years ago. It's actually not true, and he must know that. And if anyone's taking a major decision, there ought to be a chance to review it. And of course, if there was a referendum and the Remain lost it, fine. But the question should be put. It's too important to rely on the misinformation that was available 3 years ago.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-784-4000. We've been through this second referendum. I mean, we await. I think there were rumours of that Jeremy Corbyn might say for the Labour Party that this might be something that the Labour Party might deliver on. But we still seem to be an awfully long way away from a second referendum, and no parties are saying this, panel.
Well, I really like what Kate was saying. The only light we're seeing is if Article 50 can be revoked. Let's hope that May will do that. And as for Jason saying everybody knew what they were doing, that's absolutely not true. Nobody knew what they were voting for at all. Nobody had any idea. And if he thinks there's been more damage done to the country, there'll be a lot more damage to the country after Brexit. And it was a very small, as we all know, it was a very, very small majority that voted for Brexit. Anyway, there's still 48%, which has gone up. Many polls are saying 62% want to remain.
952-784-4000. I am unable to play, by the way, video clips on air if you're sending me stuff. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Everybody's woken up. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Sorry, Giles, I had to come back at that.
Yes, Jason.
What a load of codswallop and tripe, right? It's less complicated than that. People voted to leave, not for immigration. The main thrust of it was people wanted control of their country back. So it's just absolute nonsense. What it is the losing side trying to have another crack at the apple. You know, if you can't replay the FA Cup final just because you don't like it that you've lost. So nothing's changed, has it? We want to leave. We want control of our country back instead of these goddamn unelected bureaucrats in Europe. So let's do it. It's just a flawed argument. Your argument's blown totally away because the impetus was behind Nigel Farage's party. You don't need a million people marching Remainers in London. What you need is 17.5 God knows what million people still sticking to the guns. So I totally disagree with you. I'm totally contrite in my viewpoint, but that's what makes this show fun.
Indeed it is.
It's a black and white argument, isn't it? We've had this damned referendum. We knew what we wanted, right? We knew we wanted our freedom, and that ain't changed. So stop trying to muddy the water and spin it and manipulate it just to your own means, just so I can have another go at the goddamn thing. Stop
Jason?
For us, because you can't patronise people by saying they're dummies, basically, if that's what you're saying, that they don't know what they want, because I don't wash with me. I could say the same to you, but I won't, because I'm more respectful. Okay.
Thank you very much for that, Jason. The lines have gone wild, as I thought they might do. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning, everybody. I'd like to know why Jason thinks people knew what they were voting for when we had Farage saying, and this is quote Farage, Jason, if it's 52-48, I'm telling you now, meaning to stay in the EU, I'm telling you now it's unfinished business. So clearly the Brexiteer politicians, I don't know about the people, but the Brexiteer politicians would have argued on had they not won the argument. Also, if everybody knew what they were talking about, how come Farage said, and a few others, look at Norway, they're rich, we can be like Norway, when we clearly couldn't be like Norway because Norway had an arrangement with the EU to us. Are you still there, Giles?
I'm still there. You managed to cut yourself off in mid-flow, Sharon.
The pips on the line. I just think that I cannot believe the Brexiteers want are okay with such a dangerous man as Johnson coming into power. He's a notorious liar and he's lazy. There was an article in the Times just towards the end of last year saying that he is a perpetual liar. Okay, they all lie, but when you want Trump lies, and somebody once said, oh, come on, Sharon and Rudge, so they all lie. They all lie. What's the big deal? Well, there are lies and lies. There are big lies and little lies. And he's perpetually lied about detail. Just to get himself out of one scrape in an interview recently, he said, oh, I may have sandpapered over that. This is Johnson. He's a dangerous loose cannon, and it proves that he has to be contained because he's being kept away from the open debate, which I would have thought was democratic. Also, the Brexiteers don't seem to mind Parliament being prorogated by a couple of people. They seem to think that's okay. It's all a stitch-up, and I think a lot of those people are after cabinet jobs, which is they're supporting Johnson because they want a job. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Good to hear from you. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hi. It's John from Los Angeles.
Morning, John.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I'm really pleased I went. I couldn't care less a year ago. I don't have any frustrations at all, and effectively, I hope we remain. I doubt it. But the tables have been turned somewhat, and it looks as though we're coming out. But what I think we've all forgotten, and the Europeans have to remember it because the politicians in the UK have done a job for them, is that effectively this is a political punishment on the UK for deigning to come out. It is purely a political punishment. It's certainly not an economic one when we've got a 100 billion deficit. But once the UK walks away, it then becomes an economic punishment for Europeans, and I don't see the Europeans putting up a bureaucratic punishment, punishing their businesses. I mean, Europe has a huge amount of investment in the UK. It's called a tunnel because it's French, most of the ferries are French, and if the French farmers can't get their produce is rotting away and they can't sell it, they'll go berserk. If the German industry with the IFO have come out and so the DBI come out, the BDI rather, with strong warnings for Merkel, and I think she's well aware of it, that what might happen. I just don't see the Europeans accepting the economic of their own countries coming into trouble. The UK will have economic problems, but you realise that. But I think we just seem to have forgotten that this is a political, practical, economic, bureaucratical punishment. And I just don't think ordinary people like ourselves will put up with the tourism or whatever the business or the produce or whatever being punished for it, and I think there's going to be a major problem when it comes. And there's also something that's, and I'm still waiting for Sean to come on and tell me how much Eurozone debt the UK is liable for. I hope you can hear me. But also there's another thing that's just come out, which is really going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. Salvini has said he's going to run a parallel currency outside the euro. And if that comes off, I mean, I think it'll almost be the breakup of the euro. But a parallel currency was run in California when they had major problems, and Salvini's talking like that. It will almost become a parallel currency, but it'll be effectively a lira. I think that's a major problem coming up, apart from the eurozone debt, which is almost impossible to pay back. Anyway, leave you with that.
Thank you for that. 952-78-4000. Back with more Viewpoints after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Campbell Ferguson and Roslyn Scott Gibb. Always live, always lively. Good to hear your thoughts. The WhatsApps have been very busy this morning. At the moment, we're talking all things, as always, Conservative Party Brexit Boris Johnson. Let's have a look at some of the comments in. Take back control, brilliant. How is a new unelected leader in Bozo reporting to an unelected head of state in the Queen and have an unelected House of Lords taking back control? How is that? How is the UK not free at the moment, given it has the power to make EU laws? Little lies, get Fleetwood Mac on the line and they'll sing it to us. What's the point of a parallel currency, says another. It's not happening. Another one in from Ken saying, I think it's very ironic. Remainers living outside the of the UK. Immigration, take control. Politicians or PMs not elected is taking control. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio. The email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95 to get your points across here. 952 78 4000. Looking forward to your points on this one, panel. So as we've said before, looking like we still haven't gone any further down the line with developments up before the 31st of October, Halloween, of course.
Yeah, and the next one, of course, is All Saints Day. So it's, at least I think it is, something
Dia de Tostón as well, if you're in Spain. You can go to the countryside and repent.
Yeah. Yeah, but Jason, we must reply to him, I think. To me, Jason epitomises the leavers who have just shut their ears, they've stopped thinking, they made a vote then. As he says, they made a vote. Well, making a vote is just like the football match, the Champions League or something like that. But the thing is, you have the football match, the same one, the next year and the year after and the year after. And whilst psychologically it may affect you for the whole of that year that you have, that your team has lost, it doesn't affect anything else. Whereas this is life-changing, is world-changing. It's going to, it already has reduced the economy of the UK. It must be affecting Europe as well. It's going to have a devastating effect on Europe and the UK when it eventually happens. If you take that effect out of the world economy, it's going to reduce the world economy. It's going to reduce demand from everywhere else. People are going to be spending all their time negotiating deals here, there and everywhere. And we're forgetting about climate crisis. We're forgetting about all the other things that governments should be dealing with, that world governments should be dealing with. So I think, to put it mildly, when the man, the European, said, don't waste this time, they've done exactly that. And it's the Europeans must be tearing their hair out and just thinking maybe the French were right way back, maybe de Gaulle was right way back, and we just shouldn't have let the UK in at all. Should just have forgotten about them, let them float away in their own paradise. And because to me, just everything that's happening in the UK at the moment is lunacy. And it's we're out of it. as we sit here, we don't really know what's happening day to day. We don't know what people are thinking. The newspapers, well, you can't trust the newspapers because they're biased one way or the other. The radio and BBC, it's showing itself now and again to be, well, now and again to be biased one way or the other, to be influenced one way or the other. And the same with Sky and other things. So really, who can you trust? You can't trust the internet because it just, it's nutters. Sorry, we weren't going to insult anyone. It's people whose thinking is different from mine that are on there, such as Jason. Then there was talk of Farage. Well, Farage knew about it. What has Farage done? He's done absolutely nothing. He's just a spoiler. And then when he won the thing, you could almost hear them going, oh, God, what do we do now? I don't know. Let's go off. Let's go away somewhere. It's got nothing to do with us now. We've done our job. Let's run away. And that's what he's done. He hasn't provided anything. Just looking at my other notes here. But anyway, I'll leave it. Rosamund, you can get on to it and I'll try and cool myself down.
You already covered a few points there.
Well, just Jason and other people have this misconception that the UK will get back to making their own decisions. But in fact, 89% of all decisions made that affect the UK are made at Westminster. And so it's not, they're not taking back. And trade, they think the whole market, the whole world is going to be open to them. Well, the only one they're going to be stuck with is Trump. And they're not going to get any good deals with Trump, I can assure you.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
12 minutes at the top of the hour. Giles Brennan with you live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Stephen Ritson live with Europe Today from Cologne at 12 o'clock. I am joined in the studio by Campbell Ferguson and Rosalind Scott-Gibb. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, if you wish to leave a post. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. We're talking Conservative Party, we're talking Brexit, but we're going to talk Scotland now, because there was an article that appeared in the New Statesman, headlined, "The Tories would rather now face Scottish independence than lose Brexit. For Conservative leavers, the 312-year-old union between England and Scotland is secondary to the need to leave the EU at all costs." The article said, "We're about to have," and this is the article, not me, "yet another old Etonian prime minister chosen for us by an aging Jag driving," other mobiles are available, "19th hole bothering Conservative genotocracy with an imperial twitch and a growing passion for a no deal Brexit. The old Etonian in question is the most cartoonish example of the cast, an entitled, a immoral character who has repeatedly and flagrantly proved himself unfit for office. His sole qualifications appear to be impenetrable self-confidence, a schoolboyish sense of duty, and a character act that even Richard Curtis would have rejected as a half-worked cartoonist doddle." So it's saying that Westminster itself is more anglicised, my meaning obviously rather than the church, but of English people, than any time in living memory. The only Scots MPs on the front bench of either main party hold the relatively junior post of Scottish Secretary and his shadow. Michael Gove, Liam Fox and Barry Gardiner don't count. And if you think of the contrast with the tartan spine, it says here, of the Blair government and the historic Labour Party, and even Thatcher and Major years, their youngers, Langs, Rifkins and Forsyths. So this is the thoughts of writing in the New Statesman. 62-38 to remain in the EU, Scotland. Every one of its 32 local authority areas had a majority in Remain. As I said before, German MPs saying that they would fast-track Scotland into the EU, even though Spain had an ambassador. So Rosalind wants to get stuck into this one. Yes, Rosalind.
Well, having just come back from my native land of Scotland and talking to many people and getting more and more information. First of all, the general feeling I got is that they're cringing with contempt every time mention of Boris comes out, and they're very much aware, of course, of the limited voice they have at Westminster. Just one question I'd like to ask. What do you think, or we can ask our listeners, is the most important commodity? What will be the most important commodity in the next 10 to 20 years, or in the future?
How do you mean by commodity? Are we talking pork bellies, Rosalind, or what are we?
No, we're talking about it could be oil.
Right.
Okay.
Because
the general feeling, I mean, I've always thought that it would be a good idea for Scotland to leave and join the EU separately.
Right.
And it makes the most sense to me. It's done Ireland a lot of good. And the UK, the general feeling is, well, why don't they just go? You know, but in fact, the two most important commodities in the UK are water and oil, and they're so 60% of the water in England or the rest of the UK comes from Scotland, and this is going to become increasingly important in the world. If you've noticed, large companies are buying up lakes and rivers around the world.
So you're saying the Scots should say, right, we've had enough of this, and I'm not tickling Rosalind, by the way, Richard. We've had enough of this. We're leaving. We're joining the EU. We're disbanding the union, and we're taking our oil and our water with us. Campbell, do you think this is a reasonable assumption to make?
Upon occasions, and after some of the water that's distilled, it might be a reasonable assumption to do that, but I doubt if it would actually happen. We are a generous nation, and the poor souls, as they are down there in the desert, we would give them a cup of water. But I think the commodity, Rosalind, the thing that came to mind was sunshine. That's what's got to be... got to be harnessed, the power of the sun, in whichever way you can do it. You call it the wind, the solar and heating and all that sort of stuff. I think that's the main thing that's got to be done. But Rosamund's been to Scotland recently and talked with people. I've WhatsApped my son, who still lives there, younger son, and the idiot. No, they're not the idiot. No, he can't be an idiot. It's my son. He hasn't replied yet. He's looked at the WhatsApp, but he hasn't replied yet. So he'll get his knuckles wrapped for that. But anyway, my feeling, I've got different crowds of people that I talk with when I go to Scotland. I've got friends, professionals, whatever, and some of them are very much still, you could say, Thatcherite. They're very much for the Conservative Party. How they're thinking on Boris, I don't know at the moment, but they're certainly very much for Brexit. There's the other side, who are the Scottish Nationalists, and to me, I say I'm swithering on which way I would vote on independence for Scotland. I would see it's another thing that would do damage to the UK, obviously. But I look at the UK and I think, well, God, we must be able to do better than these guys, because them wanting to risking going back onto the Brexit thing, them wanting their to be in control of themselves and everything like that. Are you going to put your control of yourselves into the hands of these people? The Scottish government seems to be acting in a better way. It's maybe more of the Scandinavian style, maybe more of the Viking blood is coming out and thinking, so that Scotland's managing that way. It's my feeling is, which way would the vote go? I think it still would be marginal, but I think probably now, especially if Boris or somebody like that gets in, it will go for independence.
952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. I was hoping Rosalind wouldn't say water, but then she does listen to they, and they say... obviously, it doesn't rain much in England, I presume. I haven't been there for a while, but it must not rain in England much. But that's what I
just had a WhatsApp in from Richard saying it's been raining all something month. By the way,
yes, exactly. Yes, for any entity or country, for survival, really, you need to be dependent on energy, agriculture, and military, which Europe is not. they are less than 50% on all three of those things. They import energy, they import agriculture, and they are not self-dependent on their military. The United States of America has all three, one of the very few that do. I would rather be in bed with America than I would with Europe. Going back to the vote, Jason didn't mention anything about Westminster making decisions. Whether the old saying, 8 to 80, crippled or crazy, you were allowed to vote, yes or no. All the known knowns, the unknown knowns, and the unknown unknowns didn't come into it. If you wanted a statue of Hitler in Trafalgar Square and an MP said he was going to do it, you could vote for him, yes or no. You will never see that again, yes or no. You'll get many, many different questions, but you'll never see the yes or no again. So it's no good living in the past. As a yogi and a stoic, I tend to live in the now, and the now says that we are supposed to leave Europe, regardless of what you think is going to happen in the future or in the past. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, anyone who thinks that can't give a good reason for leaving, England or UK need to go into their nuclear bunker and hunker down for a while. Germany, Deutsche Bank, again, going into all-time lows, closing down their American side, which Deutsche Bank are mainly an American. Systemically, the most dangerous bank in the world if they go under. The car industry is tanking and could bring everybody down. We are definitely moving into recession, even the IMF say so. We are looking at a major, major problem, and I think, like I said, they're the unknown unknowns. No one really knows what's going to happen, but I think if you separate yourself from the rest at the moment, you have a better chance of digging your way out. But otherwise, you're just going to run with the crowd. You're going to run right into trouble. So I think I'll leave you on that.
I do like it when somebody quotes Rumsfeld on the show, by the way.
Well, not many people remember that quote. I was going to quote Muhammad Ali as well. I was going to say that any man that thinks at 50 like he did at 30 has wasted 20 years of his life. And I think that's what the Brexiteers tend to be doing. But I do love a quote. So,
thank you. Thank you for your call in there. 952-78-47. Thank you, Peter. On the emails, studio@tre.radio. At this stage in the process, the candidates are looking for support from other Conservative MPs, not the membership. Just going back to the current fight. I feel it was far too early for a TV debate. I'm not even sure it would deserve airtime once the membership are to vote. Are we going to have the same programmes when the Labour, Liberal and other parties elect new leaders? Thank you. Take care. And Liz, there's scheduled to be a debate tonight on the BBC with Boris Johnson.
A vote today.
A vote today, yes. A vote today. Thank you, Campbell. Yeah. A vote today. And then I think they have to bring in a minimum, I think it's 30 today. And that will clear some of the flotsam and jetsam, can we describe them as that, of the current... Are we down to we had the Magnificent Seven. I think we're down to to six now, are we, at the moment, of candidates for the Conservative leadership. 952-78-4000 at the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 9967 95. Mike says, wine, no Scots in government because, oh wait, they didn't vote for the winning party in the democratic election, did they? Boo-boo, we deserve special treatment because we want special treatment. Thank you, Mike. I've been saying that Brexit will never happen, so pay no attention to me. Thank you for that one as well. And somebody else says, if good news, I have a granddaughter in Scotland, can I apply for a Scottish passport if Scotland becomes an EU member? I think it works the other way around. I of course have a mother from Glasgow, so that's that news. Right then, coming up to the top of the hour, international and national news up next. In the second hour, we're going to be speaking Donald Trump, his ongoing war of words with London Mayor Khan, also looking at knife crime as well. That's coming up in the second hour of Viewpoint here live on TRE.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio, Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. So far, we've been looking at events in the UK and also looking at the possibility of Scotland leaving the EU. We're going to move on from that, though, I think. Joined in the studio by Campbell Ferguson and Rosalind Scott-Gibb, as always. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me with an A on +34 645 99 67 95 if you want to get your viewpoint across. Let's look at what's happening across the pond. It's been a busy week again for President Trump. He's certainly been on his Twitter feed a lot this week. There's also been the ongoing situation of developing situation in the Straits of Hormuz, of course, with the alleged attacks, or two tankers suffered explosions earlier on in the week. The US is saying that this is the actions of Iran. People or politicians or critics of President Trump are saying he is gearing up for war. Remember, if you those of you who may take a leaf out of Margaret Thatcher's book, if you're having domestic problems at home, nothing like a good war to sort out your problems. 952-784-4000. But first of all, there has been an ongoing spat, and it started before the state visit of President Trump to the UK. The state visit invited by the head of by the Queen to extended to the American people in the persona of President Trump. And it started with a spat almost as soon as he touched down. That was President Trump. And it seems to have continued. This seems to have continued. There were a series of stabbings, four fatalities in London over the past 4 days. Yesterday's revelations that children, basically, in Liverpool were having bounties put on their heads or were being told to stab other young adults, stroke children. This is seen by President Trump as London being out of control. President Trump said that this was evidence that Khan was failing in London as a London mayor and had to be removed. And then Donald Trump also retweeted controversial sometimes columnist Katie Hopkins, who talked about Stabby Starn or Londony Starn. She's made several comments about that. Do we think, panel, that London is in the grip of a crime wave? Do we think the president should be getting involved in this sort of thing? Do you think he's just trying to deflect his Twitter feeds to keep away from his own real issues? Rosalind?
Well, he does use this deflection, doesn't he? But it's also his huge ego. He can't resist any little tweet that he can get away with. But it's also deflection from this really worrying situation with John Bolton, who just loves war, and Pompeo and Trump. I mean, how can you rely on him in any positive way at all? It's really quite frightening. So we can either talk about that or the situation in London.
I will let you run with the ball, as they say, okay. Rosalind.
The situation in London specifically, or England, because it's now gone to Birmingham and places, with the knives, we have to try to create these communities. I know it's not an original idea, but we have to give young people hope for a future. We have to find ways to do this. And I'm sure, they did it with New York, right? They changed the crime rate, they put it down. Now London is the highest, much higher than the States. But so educational programs, community programs, sports programs, retraining, give them a future, give them hope, give them things to do with their time, give them possibilities of earning a living. Train them as kind of assistant social workers so that they're working with other young people to try to draw them together and give them a future, basically.
Sorry, Giles. Yes, Scotland, to go back to that country, glorious, it had a problem with razor crime a long time ago. And they managed to solve that. And I think that now in Scotland, crime, knife crime, razor crime, whatever, is much less than it was. For Trump to get involved in something like this in a city in another country is just ridiculous. If you look at the USA and the problems it's got with crime, and it's got with violent crime, with guns and whatever, they don't use knives so much in USA because they can get guns very freely. If they didn't have guns, yes, they might use knives. In the UK, if they could get guns more freely, they would use guns rather than knives. Fortunately, we've been able to control guns to a certain extent, certainly reduce them on that. So Trump, it's... You know, it's Khan in London should just be ignoring him. The man has no influence whatsoever in London. He's got no control on London, and the hypocrisy of it all is just ridiculous.
Just going back to what happened. I mean, Katie Hopkins, who obviously was fired from her role as it was LDC, I think she was thrown up because she talked about immigrants as cockroaches. She said some pretty inflammatory things. She tweeted 20 hours in Stab City update. Stab City, that's what she called London, update. Two stabbed to death, one shot dead, three stabbed but not dead. This is Khan's Londistan, which is a pretty inflammatory. And Trump retweeted this. London needs a new mayor ASAP. Khan is a disaster. It will only get worse. Now, Khan came back yesterday. I caught some interviews with him the other day, saying that, you know, he wasn't going to get involved with this Twitter spat with Donald Trump. And this was a head of state who the UK had just rolled out the red carpet with a full state visit, with his extended family paying a visit with the Queen. I mean, he did get as President of the United States and the head of the United States the full treatment. So Khan has decided not to reply to you could almost say Trump's goading.
Yeah, and it's saying it's who are the people that are being killed? Who are the people that are wielding the knives? Are they what nationality are they? What race are they? Is it just because Khan is, I think, Muslim? Yeah. And I don't know what nationality his family was originally from. But it's that, I think, is what Trump is working on. It's a much more evil thinking, racist thinking that is working on Trump.
952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles, and good morning, panel, as well.
Morning, Sean.
It's Sean here, Fuangirola.
Morning, Sean.
A few comments about the latest topic of discussion on President Trump. For Campbell to say for Trump to get involved is just ridiculous, I would suggest, Campbell, that it's not ridiculous, if only because I would be pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, that when Barack Obama told us that we would go to the back of the queue in 2016 if we didn't vote Remain, that you had no criticism whatsoever of that. In fact, either publicly or privately, you doubtless would have approved of it. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right. Obama was commenting on something that he had control of, in that it was the discussions on Brexit and the negotiations, the trade things would go back to the back of the queue. Maybe he didn't agree with him or whatever. But Trump is talking about something that he has absolutely no influence over. And he should be reading the newspaper saying, tut, tut, yeah, this is nearly as bad as America. We should be sorting out America. Get him. He's got enough to sort out over there, far less elsewhere. I happen to be watching Designated Survivor, which is on Netflix.
Yes, excellent programme.
That's right, last night. And there was a discussion there on all the things that are wrong In America, where it was putting forward that that America was trying to dictate the ethics to the world, but then were being such hypocrites, they should look behind them at what the mess they have in their own place, and that's what it is. Trump has got nothing to do with London. He's been lucky to have got away from London without any major troubles. Just stay over in America, thank you very much, and keep your tweets to yourself.
Okay, thanks, Campbell. Now, to say that Trump has got nothing to do with Britain is simply not true. Of course, he has a great deal to do with Britain. Now, it is true, of course, that he does not control London. However, you seem, and of course, doubtless Roz as well, take a world view which is fundamentally globalist. It's fundamentally anti-traditional Christian nationalist, certainly nationalist Christian traditionalist. And it's therefore not a good idea to think that Trump has no moral influence upon the rest of the world. He does. You find the name Trump synonymous with immorality. It is very far from that. It's also interesting that the would-be next mayor of London, who will be running against Sadiq Khan, is saying the exact same things as Trump, and no doubt is influenced by some of Trump's thinking. So he talks an awful lot of sense, does Donald Trump. He achieves a great deal of good. However, one thing I would absolutely agree with you on is that when you look at the crime figures in London, it works out at 1.5 per 100,000, even with 132 murders that they had last year, which pales into insignificance compared to the leading per capita figures in the United States. St. Louis, for example, is over 300. So it is horrific what goes on in the States, no question. Interestingly, as we know in the United States, much of that crime is committed by the black population against itself. Tragically, much of what happens in London, not necessarily outside of London, I believe, but certainly in London, is that black youths often, and of course increasingly others, are at risk from other black youths. And that's a great shame. And I think it's not just the fault of the black people. This is not some kind of racist rant. Those of you that have listened to me before will know that, for example, the black population in the United States was doing incredibly well in the 1960s, and then along comes socialism and the deliberate attempt to welfareize the black community, disaster. To some extent, it's not been a deliberate attempt in London, but where you get that kind of mentality and gang mentality fundamentally, I don't know if you remember just this weekend, a young mother was stabbed in Islington of all places, Tony Blair's Islington, in the leg by a 12-year-old youth who happened to be black, but of course in a sense it's irrelevant, but he was part of a gang, and as we all know, who know anything about the way gang culture works, there are rites of initiation, and you have to prove that you are macho in order to be part of the gang. So this poor woman was faced with the issue of, do I bleed to death in front of my son, or do I figure out fast how I'm going to stem the flow of blood? Luckily, she was a nurse, I understand.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with some horrendous problems. And actually, if you made Trump the mayor of London, I wish Trump would resign as for selfish reasons.
And there we go.
President of the United States. Make him mayor of London. He would sort it out in no time.
Sean,
begin with stop and search.
I can see it. I can see it now. Donald Trump running for mayor of London.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be.
I mean, they voted for Boris. They'd certainly vote for Trump.
Right then. I've got other calls coming in on that one, but that's the idea of the day. Donald Trump for London mayor. Morning calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, you're calling live on... Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm John Dodd.
Hi, John, how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. A very lively deal, but your Scotsman friend, Deb...
He's not my Scotsman, but anyway, John, yes, please carry on.
Yeah, no, I mean, you disown him after the show, I hope so. Anyway, the thing is, we've got to go back a long way with UK. In the 20s and 30s, we policed Germany and... with the French, and they managed to build concentration camps right under our noses, which we denied when a holidaymaker went there.
John,
but I'm coming forward very quickly.
Okay.
That we've been getting away from murder for years. Okay, let's forget about the war and the incarceration of the Jews, which if had they not been incarcerated and done what had been done with them, this would have been, we wouldn't be speaking to each other now, would we? No way. Anyway, they make atom bombs, you know.
John, I'm going to have to pull the one down on that one, but thank you for your call in. 952-784-1000. There are certain viewpoints that we won't be taking on that one. I'm sorry, John, but I'm not taking a flippant comment like that about the Holocaust. I'm going to come on to my Scotsman in a minute, quote unquote. Richard has come through. Islington is not Belgravia. Yeah, parts of it are very rough indeed. Thank you for the comment then. Campbell?
No, just Sean was going on about the world order and traditional Christian ethics and so on. Traditional Christian ethics, when you look at the background and the effects, if you could call it look at Africa, how Africa was basically raped of all its people, with slavery, with resources, etc., by the Christians working their traditional ethics. Same with South America. It had major problems with the traditional Christian ethics. I think we've got to get away from Christian, from Muslim, from whatever, and it's just there is the ethics of a man is a man for all that you've got to treat people with respect, no matter what they are, what colour they are, or anything like that, and no race, nationality, religion is superior to the other.
952-784-1000. Good morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Hans from the Costa Blanca.
Good morning, Hans.
Denia Calpe, whatever. Well, you might have noticed that I haven't called in for a long, long time to viewpoint, because actually for self-protection, I thought I shouldn't listen to it anymore and not even call. Because if you have got people on like John Harper or people calling in like Peter or Sean, my adrenaline is just going too high all the time. But
okay, fair enough.
Just replying very quickly to Sean, when you think that Trump, I don't get involved in crimes in London, whatever. I don't know enough about it. The only thing, if someone says that Trump is a moral institution and he is standing for Christian values, I'm a Christian and I know that it's written in the Bible, you should not cheat your wife, you should not lie, you should not get more than 4,000 court cases, and you shouldn't do bad things like this. And if Sean thinks that President Trump is just staying for Christian values, I mean, makes me flipping. And do you think, guys, Trump is having any Christian values with his record, with his life backward, and the hookers and all the things? Do you believe that Sean is right?
I do like that. That was one of the, it must be one of the addendums of the tablets that I missed. Thou shalt not cheat, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not get 4,000 court cases. I must have missed that one, Hans.
Well, have a good day, guys.
Thank you very much.
And just telling, I'm not a lefty, because then I think I'm a lefty. I think climate change is important, but I'm also not in favor of over-Islamization of Europe. Many things are just said wrong on the show, like German car industry down and blah, 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 blah. It's a big manipulation point, your program. Call it viewpoint, call it manipulation point.
It's not as catchy, Hans, but thanks for the suggestion. 952-784-1000. Enjoy your day. 952-784-1000 is the phone number, going live to the lines again. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gustblanker.
Morning, Kate.
Correcting a misapprehension of one of your earlier callers about Obama's intervention in British politics. The Brexit, just before the referendum, the Brexiteers were making a great deal of mileage of how we would obviously cozy up to our best friend, speaking the same language, and have a first-class deal. Basically, they were trading on the presumption that they were, we would be automatically high on the list of the United States priorities. Mm-hmm. And Obama did everyone a favour by saying, no, you would be, you know, go back to the bottom of the line. And, i.e., America would look after its own interests, which is indeed exactly what Trump would do. So it was to correct a false impression that was being peddled by the Brexiteers. Trump is a whole different ballgame. Cheers.
Thanks very much for the call in. Live to the lines again. Good morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Sean again. Just
morning,
coming
Sean,
back
yeah.
quickly on those comments from yeah, Hans. Thanks, sure. Hans. You make a very good point. Nobody could argue that they voted in America for Trump as pastor-in-chief, least of all me. In fact, personally, I happen to be a committed member of the same church for the last 40 years as Mitt Romney. However, and indeed Harry Reid, who is the second most powerful elected politician in America in Obama's time. But if I had to choose between Trump's politics and those of Mitt Romney, for instance, well, I learned very, very early on that it's a big mistake to conflate, much as I'd love to, much as it would be wonderful to have a candidate that was morally squeaky clean, personally squeaky clean, I would know that it is a big mistake, and I think we should all know that it's a big mistake to conflate the two. Another of my political heroes is John F. Kennedy. Here's me, a squeaky clean Christian, who has JFK as a huge political hero. Why? Because basically he and Trump are trying to do the same thing. Sadly, JFK did not have the resources and the protection to pull it off. JFK wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He wanted to take out the deep state. As Eisenhower before him, by the way, understood as well, the military-industrial complex, Eisenhower wanted to call it the military-industrial congressional complex, but he was persuaded to drop the word congressional.
Right.
So what Trump is doing in America is little short of wonderful in so many ways. For example, one of the most touching events that I ever saw Trump involved in last year was an event for what are called the angel mums. Those mothers, many of whom themselves come from ethnic minorities, who may come from recently arrived but legal immigrant families, who have lost their sons and their daughters mostly, typically in car crashes, not necessarily through murder, but very often through murder
right.
as well. 63,000 people in America have lost their lives.
Got to hurry along, please, sure, because I've got other callers coming in. Sorry,
okay.
But yeah.
To illegal immigrants. So basically, Trump has real heart. He cares about real people. It bothers him when people die needlessly. Even London, with its tiny 1.5 per 100,000 cases. And remember, he loves the UK. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks very much.
Going live to the lines there. Thank you, Rosalind. Good morning, call you live in Terry. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? I'll come to the panel in a minute.
Charles, Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
Yeah, going back to what we were talking about, London and Khan, I tend to judge the man on his actions and not on his words. Since Khan has become mayor, knife crimes up 52%, residential burglaries up 37%, robberies up 59%, 135 murders last year in London up 26%, 50 murders so far in London this year, 116,000 affordable homes he promised. He's delivered less than 30%. He's wasted £83 million so far. He spent £400,000 on a beach party, £13 million on his public relations. He cost TfL for Transport for London £640 million. He froze the fares. They've not kept up with inflation. His cost to TfL employees has gone from 4.9 to 10.8 million. He's failed to reduce the bus cost of bus travel, which he promised. He failed to plant 2 million trees, which he promised. He failed to start up his own energy company, which he promised. So judging the man rather than the Twitter argument, I think he should go immediately, let alone at the end of his term. The man is obviously a failure, a huge failure, and Londoners must be absolutely terrified of anyone like him coming in back in as London mayor. It's an atrocious thing, but nobody mentions that, do they? They just go, oh, Trump's involved in a spat with Khan, like Khan's right. It's his record is is atrocious, absolutely atrocious. I just don't get it. And I'm sure Sean's seen it, but for anyone who hasn't, go on YouTube and put the speech that killed Kennedy, and it's literally, you might as well be listening to Trump. So, you know, the two were very, like he said, they wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. And John mentioned earlier, I'm going around the houses here, but John mentioned the dual currency or the currency in Italy. Somebody said it wouldn't happen. They voted on it. They're going to sell bots, which are mini bonds. And it's completely against the ECB. But again, it's someone standing up to the ECB who weren't here 10, 15 years ago. Trump standing up to the Fed. You know, we've done all very well without these before. But you get these politicians that come in and you need an education and a pension and drive you into poverty, and the gap's just getting bigger and bigger. So it all comes down to the same thing at the end. It's all about control.
Peter?
So,
thanks.
On that one.
Thank
on that
you.
Note.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Into the last 24 minutes of the show. Always live, always lively. Viewpoint Talk Radio's current, Talk Radio Europe's, excuse me, current affairs program with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. Always good to hear your viewpoints, or most of them anyway. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, if you wish to leave a post. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Ian's come in saying, don't forget, the House of Representatives has said there will be no deal with the UK if a hard border is required on the island of Ireland. That's from Ian in Camberley. Niall, thank the Lord we got free England. The UK should be given the chance to vote again, I think, or maybe it means he said England should be given the chance to vote again. I think Trump is poised for war, and the tweets about the mayor are stupid provocations, as Trump so with Boris Johnson. I'm just trying to get my head around the idea of Trump standing as mayor of London. That would be quite something. 952-784-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. Looking at some of the top stories at the moment, running through the headlines quickly, former UEFA president and French football legend Michel Platini has been detained on suspicion of corruption. The 63-year-old is being held as part of an investigation into the awarding of the 2022 World Cup to Qatar. Watch now, that's a breaking story. Boris Johnson's received a further endorsement on another crucial day in the Tory leadership race. Andrea Leadsom, who dropped out of the contest, says she'll be supporting the front runner. That vote takes place this afternoon. Facebook's launching a cryptocurrency next year. Backed by the likes of MasterCard, Visa and PayPal, the currency is known as Libra and will allow people to move money from their smartphones. What could possibly go wrong? And England's cricketers are now getting underway against Afghanistan in their World Cup group match at Old Trafford. Owen Morgan's side can go to the top of the table with a win. We're going live to the lines again. 952-784-4000. Morning. Oh, sorry, I just cut you off. My apologies. Please ring in again. Call 952-784-4000. The phone number, studio at tre.radio. The email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Let's move, though. We mentioned it briefly before we got involved with the phone lines are ringing again. Let me just go back to the line. Good morning, caller. My apologies for cutting you off before. You're live on TRE.
I don't think you did, Giles. I think I cut myself off, Hi, Sharon Alicante. It's convenient for all of us to present facts that suit our argument, but Peter omitted to mention the cuts. The cuts across the country have badly affected the police forces, emergency services generally, and this was backed by the police on the news last night or whenever recently that all the emergency services have backed up Khan's claim that the cuts haven't helped. They've been massive. We've probably suffered more austerity than many other European countries. Also, it's in our nature, I think, to call upon people who agree with us. So just for once, I'm going to do a short... I think it was Jason or somebody was looking forward to Sean phoning in.
Mm-hmm.
Richard from London, he's worked in the city for a long time. Richard, if you're listening, can you call in and comment on whether Trump is draining the Fed swamp in America? And could you talk about Deutsche Bank if you get a chance or if you're able to? Thank you. Because you know more about it than most other people.
I do like it when listeners decide what we should have on the program. You know, they're calling in the thing. Thank you for that one, Sharon.
No, but other people ask for other people's opinions.
I'm just happy to be here, as the saying goes, Sharon, but thank you for that call. 952-78-4000 is the phone number, Campbell.
Yes, just the you were talking about the politicians are now beginning to swing to support Boris.
Yeah.
That's because they know they're not going to win, going to be there themselves, and they're merely getting behind him so that he will give them a position in the cabinet. When he wins, they're backing a winner, or who they think will be a winner.
I mean, this isn't... the general public... You could argue
that this is one of the reasons why people like the Brexit Party and people are doing so well, because all we are seeing here seems to be infighting, craven infighting, scrabbling for scraps off the main table. And this is not an edifying prospect or an edifying picture for a country that is going to be broadly walking towards, striding towards the sunny uplands of a post-Brexit Britain.
Cliff, right. Cliff, Rosalind, you're going to say something.
Well, actually, I just wanted to bring in a new subject.
Okay.
I'm just so impressed with Hong Kong and how the young people have demonstrated in organized, peaceful fashion and on something such a very, very important issue to do with their human and legal rights. And so far, they've managed... They want to get rid of the leader... what's her name?
I don't remember. I'm just going to go. We've got another call coming in, so I'll just go straight to that one. Yeah. Good morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's for Sharon. My name's not Richard, but I've often been called Big Dick.
Okay, Big Dick, and that's your yellow card warning for a start,
right,
John.
Okay. Right. Okay. Just to say, as regards Deutsche Bank, it's in deep, deep trouble. In fact, a lot of countries broke. But the Germans will never ever allow the Deutsche Bank to go down. Impossible. They never allow it to go down. Though it is a deep, deep mire, and even it was quite a shock that even a merger of Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank would still be smaller than one single bank in the U.S. Let alone. It's a big, big problem for Germany. But Germany will never let the Deutsche Bank go down.
It's Deutsche Bank is the only bank that Trump uses, right? And it has quite a reputation for money laundering.
Well, that's a huge thing back, and it's colossal in derivatives, which is one of the major problems. But I wish you ladies would actually look at Trump. He's obviously a despicable character, but I often wonder what percentage of ladies like Trump, and I think it's very tiny. And but I think in some ways. The ladies, in CNN in particular, their hate for Trump is so bad, and it's all over the place, that they ruin their own logical minds. I mean, my favorite commentator in CNN was Kristen Amanpour. Now, she changed that. She started hating that Trump, but she changed. She backed off. She saw that made the female commentators on CNN look just vitriolic and not using their logic that they have. They made themselves look foolish. But that's just a comment. But everybody... that Trump does is going to be hated. I think there's a lot of things that he has done good.
You wanted a comment back from Rosalind. I think there's one coming down the line for you now.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's bias at all. It's just looking at the facts of every time he opens his mouth, what comes out of it and what he says and what he has done and what he's not done for the benefit of the country.
952-78-4000. Quick WhatsApp +34 645 99 67 95 from Ian. Quite right to bring up Hong Kong. Brave people. That's from Ian. Brave people there. Going live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Joe, sorry, Peter again.
Yes,
just
Peter.
Just quickly, because I think my radio is overlapping voices, because it sounded like Sharon was defending austerity in London, but obviously not. That can't be true. But, Deutsche Bank, as John said, in massive, massive trouble. And although he says Germany won't bail them out, they won't allow it to happen, I don't think they will. But the amounts involved now are so huge, and the ECB will have to be involved. And for those people that are always constantly banging on the banks, and with me it's the central banks, the Deutsche Bank is for the second time, because they couldn't merge with Commerzbank, they've just opened a core bank, which for us laymen is a somewhere to dump their assets. It's a bad bank. And they've just dumped tons of billions of assets into there, which they've done before, which didn't work. Now, somebody has to buy those assets. Some dumb person has to go out there and buy them. And the only people I can think of who's buying them is the ECB, because they're printing money, so they have to buy assets. So literally, Deutsche Bank are dumping stuff that the ECB is buying. And again, as I keep saying, it's going to go sour, and we need to be out of it. We really do need to be out of it. We're going to get caught. So I'll leave you on that one, Giles.
Thanks for that, Peter. 952-78-4000. We'll be talking Hong Kong after this.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Absolutely. Glynis has come in. Here, Jason. This is going back to a conversation we had a little bit earlier in the show. Here, Jason. But there will always be people clutching at straws until October 31st. It's going to rumble on and on. Ever since I started doing this show, I should have just have two big buttons. One marked Trump and one marked Brexit, and just push either one, however we go. I'm joined in the studio by Rosalind Scott-Gibb and Campbell Ferguson. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me with an A, +34 645 99 67 95. Looking, because Rosalind has mentioned Hong Kong before, let's look at some news coming out of there. It's been interesting, to put it mildly. China says it'll continue to support Hong Kong's embattled leader after 2 million people, 2 million protesters took the streets demanding that she steps down. Carrie Lam's apologised for the way her government handled a controversial extradition law. Meanwhile, Hong Kong's most prominent student activist has been released from prison after serving a 2-month sentence related to demonstrations in 2014. Joshua Wong, the student leader, he's staying defiant.
It's time for us to urge Carrie Lam to withdraw the extradition law proposal, and it's her responsibility to step down and to face how 2 million people already joined the fight, and urge her to bear the political responsibility.
That's Joshua Young, the student leader. Already got some emails in, some WhatsApp saying brave people over in Hong Kong. Rosalind, your thoughts on it then so far?
Absolutely, very, very, because this is so important. Now, Carrie Lam, although they want her to step down, of course, but what she's done is shelf it for the time being, which is also not good enough, because what it means is it gives mainland China freedom to prosecute anybody they want. So all these students, the protesters, they can just pull any they want. Journalists, preachers, businessmen would all be involved in this. So it's terribly, terribly important that they keep up this strong, 2 million, and they're very organized, they're not causing trouble, but they...
There were street fights and street battles in Hong Kong the other day.
Nothing very big. No, it wasn't. It was, the statement is that the police were going too strong on using tear gas, when in fact it was a pretty organized, quiet demonstration. 2 million people, that's amazing. So they want to make sure that the members are not prosecuted, and that the extradition bill is totally withdrawn or repealed. So it's very important, and they should be given a lot of support. And of course, Taiwan is also in this very delicate position with mainland China, and just kind of holding on with their teeth to their independence. So both of them are position.
We recently saw the 30th anniversary of Tiananmen Square, of course, as well, which took place, 30 years ago. Campbell, do you want to come back on your points on this one?
Yes, I don't know that much about Hong Kong, but the population, I was just checking on it, it's about 7 million. So if you can get 2 million on the streets from a 7 million population, you're doing not too badly. Yes, I can see it's China is just growing more and more aggressive in itself, and it's going to take over Hong Kong eventually once the agreement with the UK expires. And Taiwan, it will take it over. They're taking over the China Sea, all the small islands and lands there. They're just expanding because they're playing the longer game. as usual, and they know that the US is weakening and China will just grow stronger.
Yeah, just one more point is the agreement was made in 1997 for 50 years, giving complete freedom to Hong Kong. And this is the 22nd anniversary, and they're already trying to take over, quite a big control, if you can extradite inhabitants or members of Hong Kong.
But wasn't it always going to be this way? I mean, when we left Hong Kong in 97.
No, there was a 50-year agreement that they were given freedom.
But one might argue, if you were seasoned in politics and could see the way that the Chinese and that Beijing was going, that perhaps they wouldn't play, they'd be playing lip service to this deal for a certain amount of time?
Yes, yes, I think so, Giles. It's just a matter, are they going to stick to the 50-year thing and then take things over, or are they going to gradually whittle away at the thing, knowing that a weakened UK, with its eyes focused on other things, can't do anything about it. All the UK can do is stamp its feet. All the United Nations can do is stamp their feet. That's it. The US is not going to attack China over Hong Kong. No, China can do what it wants.
Although there's a huge number of business interests, American business interests in Hong Kong, so they will be looking avidly. But this is why the person who said, these people, these young people who are demonstrating are very, very brave, knowing what China's capable of.
952-78-4000, the phone number. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you coming from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Sean again.
Oh, Sean.
Poincarella. Just weighing in on Hong Kong briefly.
Yeah.
It's well worth remembering Campbell, who mentioned that America's getting weaker and that China has asserted so much power in the South China Sea, etc. It is certainly true that they have asserted a lot of power. Much of that power has been gifted them by the United States for at least the last 20 years. Bill Clinton was unbelievably corrupt. There's plenty of evidence of the way that he ingratiated himself purely for funds for the Democratic Party by inviting some of the perpetrators of the Tiananmen Square massacre into the White House.
Right.
And also Joe Biden is very much involved in all sorts of shenanigans, financial wrongdoings in both China and the Ukraine, including those islands in the South China Sea. Trump, of course, is putting serious pressure on them. You say that Trump won't go to war over Hong Kong. No, but he is able to exert an awful lot of economic pressure. Just watch the way that he's dealing with them on the tariff situation. Very, very powerful stuff. He's, as always, Trump knows how to negotiate. So I think you could find the only chance for the people in Hong Kong will be the power exerted by the United States to pressurize the Chinese into having some sort of respect for democracy. It's also worth remembering you cannot trust Chinese communists. You never could. If you think about their moral code, they don't have a moral code. That is to win. I mean, there's no God. It's atheism. You'll find the same thing, by the way, the same process of breaking promises in little countries like Zimbabwe. We had exactly the same thing when Mugabe took power. There was a deal that there'd be a 10-year period when he couldn't become too dictatorial, etc. Yeah. Well, we all know how it worked out in Zimbabwe. China is an absolute dictatorial empire.
Sean,
has been since 1949, will continue to be.
Thank you very much for
Thanks.
Your call in yes. there as well. A few bits and pieces of end of business, if you like, regarding the Hong Kong extradition bill. It could be used to pick up any person, even though they are just changing planes and passing through. A lot of financial institutions might well move elsewhere, possibly Singapore. Be careful what you wish for is one of them. I just want to leave with, we've got some more bits and pieces coming in on the earlier, because we're into the last 3 minutes of the show on some earlier subjects. I'm just trying to tidy up any other business, as they say. We have
I could always push the buttons vegan or cyclists and get a good reaction. I was talking about the Trump button. Thank you for that one, D. Nice to hear from you. And also from Jeff in Torrevieja. I'm one of the disenfranchised voters that did not get the chance to vote, as many of us didn't, and therefore, this is obviously talking about Brexit, and therefore did not have my say on Brexit. Consequently, I feel that people like me should be able to retain their rights and conditions that were agreed when we migrated to Europe, regardless of the outcomes of Brexit. The UK, at the moment, has such a weak and fragmented government, quote in quotes he's put there, it has been unable to deliver anything regarding Brexit apart from uncertainty and a weak pound. The only voice us expats, his words, not mine, have at the moment is support the Remain case. From my point of view, if expats' rights were secured in Europe, then stay or remain would not be an issue for us. It's not fair. The rug should have been pulled from under us by such a short-sighted referendum when we have lived under an EU agreement that was fully supported by the UK for much of my lifetime. Thanks very much for your message in there. Into the last 1 minute and 50 seconds of the show, panel. Rosalind, you look like you've got what they used to call in Vietnam the thousand yard stare there. Somebody who's seen too much, too young. Any final close of business you want to make? It's been another live and lively viewpoint, as always.
Yes, a pleasure, as always, John.
Any final points that you want to make without reverting to sort of a last minute bit about Trump bashing?
I think I'm speechless.
There seems to be quite a lot of things going on about morality. We've had a very moral show, and obviously the moral backbone is being provided by Campbell Ferguson. Campbell.
Thank you very much, Giles. I won't go into that. But the thing that gets me is, I don't know if the older listeners will remember a Mr. Pastry who used to be on television, I think, when television was maybe only an hour a day or whatever, on that. There was a Mr. Pastry, one of Trump's people, the people that work for him, very close to him, the guy with the big moustache and whatever.
John Bolton is
exactly Mr. Pastry. And Mr. Pastry was a comedian and idiot. And this man, just when you look at it and you say, right, he is backing the military might of the US. He's backing the military establishment, the financial establishment. It's all in there for the money. And keep the battles going, boys, because bullets have got to be paid for.
The military-industrial complex, Rosalind.
Yes, John Bolton, the moustache that grew a man.
Thank you. Jealous, Rosalind.
Rosalind gets in a sizzling backhand there down the line at the end of this show. Right, we're almost out of time. Thank you, Niall, for your compliments as well. It's been another live and another lively viewpoint. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday, with more lively debate. My thanks to my guests, Rosalind Scott-Gibb.
Thank you, Giles. A pleasure, as I say, as always.
And also to Campbell Ferguson.
Thank you very much, Charles. Yes, I've enjoyed another 2 hours, yeah.
This show will be repeated at 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you for your calls in. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.